God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Well, good afternoon, America. Alex McFarland here sitting in for Todd Herman. Very honored to be with you on the American Family Radio Network. We've got a great hour of programming. Later on, we will take calls. That'll be in the second half of the show. And I want you to think about this question. We're not going to get to it just yet, but I'll throw it out there so that you can go ahead and begin to ponder this. If the election were held today, for whom would you vote and why? It's 45 days to the election. Who would you vote for? If today were election day, who would you vote for and why? We'll get to that in just a moment, but my name is Alex McFarland. If you recognize my voice, it might be because of a show called Exploring the Word that we have done on the American Family Radio Network for 15 years now. I give God the glory, and it's going strong, and I'll be on with Reverend Bert Harper this afternoon on Fire Away Friday, where we take your Bible questions. And I travel and speak, and along the journey, I meet a lot of people. As you might expect, some make more of an impression than others. But, you know, it's been my great privilege over the last, decade, I guess, to frequently cross paths with attorney, pastor, author, broadcaster, E.W. Jackson. He is just one of the most brilliant people. And let me tell you, in 35 years of being a Christian and, you know, more than 30 years of being in the ministry, I've heard my share of public speakers. And nobody can get an arena up on their feet like Bishop E.W. Jackson. He's just a great American, a great brother in the Lord, but probably the most powerful public speaker I've ever heard in my life. We're very privileged to have him with us, and there's a lot in the news that I want to really solicit his insight and wisdom about. But with us, Bishop E.W. Jackson, welcome to the American Family Radio Network, my friend.
Alex, you are too kind, but thank you very much for that gracious introduction. Of course, it's always an honor to be able to spend some time talking to you. So,
well, you know, as Babe Ruth would say, no brag, just facts. And it's true. Before we get too much into the news, and there's a lot I really want your opinion on, tell us about Stand. Tell us about yourself and where people might find you online.
Well, since we are on, we are in the slot that I once held here at American Family Radio. You know, some people listening probably are familiar with me, but of course, I got saved while I was in law school, and the Lord really revolutionized my life when I was saved, changed my perspective about a lot of things, and one of the things He changed my perspective about is America. And helped me to understand that America is a gift from Him and really charged me with being a steward of it. And of course, I took that not just for me, but for every Christian who understands the importance of liberty and that liberty does indeed come from Almighty God, not from the hand of government. So to fast forward, I started Stand in 2009 after the election of Barack Obama because I really felt inspired by God to do something that would bring us together across racial and cultural lines and uphold Judeo-Christian values and principles, which I did not expect Barack Obama to do. I hope maybe he might surprise us, but I didn't expect it. And so I created Stand, staying true to America's national destiny with that mission, bringing Americans together across racial and cultural lines to uphold our Judeo-Christian values, or shorthand, to be one nation under God. And in the 15 years of our existence now, we've had our hands in a lot of different things. But right now, we're focused on the violence that's taking place in the inner city and the degree to which the inner city is still captive to these leftist forces that are destroying their families, undermining public safety, destroying educational opportunity, and seeking really to bring them together with other believers so that they can experience the very best that the country has to offer. So that's really the latest and biggest project we've been working on. But we've got Stand with law enforcement, We are working. We've got a super PAC that's working on the election right now. Of course, STAND is a nonprofit, and we don't get involved in elections or campaigns or endorsing candidates. But we do have a super PAC that is kind of a sister organization that is working on that very population, primarily inner cities in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia, to help people understand that they ought to vote their Christian values and biblical values, not race, not party, and not personality.
Amen. Well said. And you know, you mentioned North Carolina, my home state. In fact, I'm in North Carolina right now. And you know, they're saying that the electoral map will probably boil down to Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. And of course, my state right now is just hotly in discussion over Mark Walker. And I don't want to really...
Robinson, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mark Robinson. Yeah, I've also got a friend, Mark Walker, that's a former congressman. But yes, Mark Robinson, Lieutenant Governor, who is running for governor. And there's a lot of news around him, I'll just say. But right now, one thing I wanted to ask you is about the story coming out of New York about the Attorney General, who is one of Donald Trump's, you know, legal nemesis, but she, as of September 22nd, Sunday, will be in a very intrusive way over all of the voting precincts in the state of New York. And there are a lot of people that are worried that that is really going to make it unfair or at least murky how to oversee election integrity in New York. How concerned are you as an attorney? I know as a citizen and as a Christian voice, but from a legal standpoint, as an attorney, how concerned are you about election interference and when you've got these hotly partisan Democrats that are over precincts and voter tabulation? How concerned are you?
Alex, I can't overstate it. Profoundly, profoundly concerned. You know, the Word of God says in Proverbs 11:1, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. And for me, what that means is, as someone who is interested in American politics, I know that the pathway to success can never involve cheating. It can never involve lying.
Amen.
It can never involve fraud. But here's my concern. I think that the people on the left simply don't have those compunctions. I think they subscribe to a more Marxist view of morality, which is by any means necessary. As long as the outcome that you are seeking is what they can define as a good one, then the tactics you use to get there really don't matter. And that's sort of a common communist approach to things, because it's the end that justifies the means. Exactly, exactly. And that gives me profound concern, because look, there's no endeavor in life. When I hear this stuff of, oh, there's no fraud, there's no cheating, and you know, conservatives and Republicans are making it up, I say, you know, there's no endeavor in life in which there's no fraud or cheating. None, not a single one, because human beings, being sinful, will do wrong things and will try to get what they want by shortcuts, and it happens in every endeavor in life. And to think that something as important as who exercises power in our government would not invite people who are willing to do anything to get and keep power, to me, is just really Pollyannish. It's preposterous. And so we've got to be very, very vigilant about watching what's going on. In fact, STAND is dedicating our entire month of October to election experts to talk about that issue every Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern time, to talk about that issue of making sure that our elections are honest and fair.
What did you think of the debate now 10 days ago?
Well, you know, I'll tell you first, I was surprised, because some of the people that I know and talk to thought Trump did terrible. I watched the entire debate. I thought there were some missed opportunities. I thought he allowed Kamala Harris to bait him from time to time. But I think he won for this reason. I think the person that we saw was not Kamala Harris. The person that we saw was a prepackaged, rehearsed memorized a person who was told, here's what you do if he says this, here's what you do if he says that, here's what you say. Because just recently, even on in this interview last night with Oprah Winfrey, when she was asked about by an audience member, well, what are you going to do about the high prices and inflation? She went into one of these word salads that made absolutely no sense. That's who she really is. And who we saw at the debate is not who she really is. That was somebody who was kind of made up to try to do well at an important moment. So I thought Donald Trump won it because he was authentic. He is himself always. And he's honest about who he is and what he wants to do for the American people.
You know, Bill O'Reilly, I remember back in 2015 and then 2016 when, you know, Trump, you know, first said he was going to be a candidate. And at first, a lot of people didn't take him seriously. And one of the first people that did, although I'm not sure he really supported him, but he took it seriously, was Bill O'Reilly. And Bill O'Reilly actually stood in his office at Fox in New York City, and O'Reilly said, look, I've known Donald Trump more than 30 years. Like him or not, he is a man of his word. And Bill O'Reilly said, I've never known Donald Trump not to keep his word, or at least try to keep his word. And see, that's I think that's refreshing, you know, whether or not you like Donald Trump. I mean, if he says, you know, I'm going to do this, you know, that's a stupid idea, I'm not going to do that. I mean, he really is. Would you agree? Trump is very forthright.
He is very authentic, and that's to me. You know, remember when Jesus met Nathaniel, and he said to him, "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile." And he wasn't saying that Nathaniel was right about everything, but he was saying he was honest. He was not dissembling. He was not pretending to be something that he wasn't. And that's what we have with Donald Trump. We have a man, of course, a flawed human being, as we all are, but a man who never tries to fool people into thinking that he's something that he's not. I mean, I think most of us would say sometimes he tells us a little bit too much about what he thinks. But
Right.
But we know what he thinks and we know what he plans to do. And I think that his prior administration demonstrated that the man keeps his promises. If he says he's going to do something, he sets about to do it and will put everything he has behind getting that job done. And I tell you that you're right. In politics particularly, that is refreshing.
I don't know if Kamala Harris has, shall we say, the presence of mind enough to be embarrassed by this. But imagine knowing that a buzzword really was created just to apply to you, and I'm speaking of the term word salad, because you know I've seen shows where people will be rambling, circuitous, and somebody say, okay, that was a real word salad. I mean, Kamala Harris, you know, it reminds me, Bishop Jackson, of they say that when Abraham Lincoln debated Stephen Douglas, Lincoln said of Douglas, that man has perfected the art of saying nothing. And I mean, just think about this. You know, the term word salad, I never knew of that term prior to the rise of Kamala Harris. Do you think she's ever, like, in private moments, embarrassed that she is daily in front of microphones serving up word salad?
You know, I wish I could say that I believe she has the humility to be embarrassed or to believe that she did not perform well, or because the history of her administration so far is she fires people who I think try to give her good advice.
Well, and that's a mark of a despot or a tin horn dictator, you know. Tell me not what I need to hear. Tell me what I want to hear.
Right, exactly.
Or heads will roll. Well, Bishop Jackson, give us your website, and then can you stay with us? Can you
Absolutely. Stay? It's standamerica.us, standamerica.us.
I'll refer you to one of my websites, folks, alexmcfarland.com/vote, alexmcfarland.com/vote. Stay tuned. The Todd Herman Show, for whom I'm sitting in. We're going to come back after this on the American Family Radio Network. More with Bishop Jackson after this. We'll be right back. You know, in Psalm 119, verse 161, you may know Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's a tribute to the Word of God. But there's an interesting verse. It says in verse 161, "Princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy word." Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland, we're talking with Bishop E.W. Jackson, and we're talking about, of course, the upcoming election in 45 days. But, you know, when the Bible talks about princes, you know, obviously we're under rulers and elected officials, and there are not only, you know, governors and a president, but there are judges that get appointed, many of whom sit on their respective benches for years and years and years. Bishop Jackson, look, I trust in the Lord. God is providentially in control. But from a human perspective, yeah, I feel like it's vital that people vote, and they vote godly. And we could talk about what that looks like. But here are the things. It's more than just a four-year presidential administration, or it's more than just a two-year, you know, Senate or congressional appointment. There are school boards, there are administrators, there are judges, many of whom have a, you know, vehemently anti-biblical worldview, and they can spend years and even decades in positions that can obstruct the gospel. Votes and elections have long-term ramifications, long-term implications. It is imperative that people be informed, pray, and vote, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite scriptures that applies to the particularly the times we're in, but for really for all time among free people who have a chance to choose their elected officials is Hosea 8:4, which says, "You set up kings, but not by me. You establish princes, but I do not acknowledge them." And, you know, with people who say, well, you know, God chooses who becomes leader, it's not according to that scripture, because God says, no, you chose those people, not me, and I don't even acknowledge them. So we as Christians have got to make sure that we are seeking to choose people whom we choose based upon God's word and his standards, and who we believe God will acknowledge. And understanding, we're not going to be able to find perfect people. Jesus is not on the ballot. But we got to find people who have honor and integrity and a desire to do what is right in God's sight, and have the discipline and the strength to resist the temptations, I think, that are inherent in politics to go another way, even at the cost of their lives, if that's what it takes. And see, with all of Donald Trump's flaws, to me, this is what marks him out. I really believe that Donald Trump loves this country, loves the American people, cares about what happens, and is willing to put his life on the line, as he's now demonstrated, in order to serve the American people, not to rule over us, but to serve us. And all this stuff about, you know, the dictator and Hitler and all, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that leads to the assassination attempts that have been made on his life. And I would hope, although I don't have, frankly, I'm not too positive about it, but I would hope that at some point the people saying these things would get a revelation that it's wrong and that they're stoking violence and they're putting this man's life in danger in doing so.
Yeah, I've said this in several interviews this week. I think it almost amounts to reckless endangerment by rhetoric. I mean, I think about this. 2016 to 2020, repeatedly, Hillary Clinton said that he was an illegitimate president. Nancy Pelosi said that he was an invalid president, a failed presidency. And there was this, you know, rhetoric, and you and I don't believe it for a moment, but, you know, I know there are people that are only marginally politically informed, and they are told ad infinitum, okay, this guy is invalid, this guy is illegitimate. And then the phrase that is just the most vacuous, empty phrase, guarantee 99% of Americans have no clue what this might possibly mean, an existential threat to democracy. And these unhinged people hear this, and, you know, two times now an attempt was made on Donald Trump's life. Two times, just thank God that he was not not even not killed. He wasn't substantively injured, thank the Lord. But I guess here's my question. This rhetoric of the left has jeopardized the life of a man who doesn't need this. He could be sitting on a beach somewhere just running out the clock. I truly think Donald Trump is willing to work like the daylights and put himself at risk because I think he really cares about this country.
Amen. In fact, one of the things I think a lot of people may have missed because I maybe even some leftists thought it was too much, but Eric Swalwell compared Donald Trump to Osama bin Laden. And actually really? Went on to expound on that and say, yeah, he's like Osama bin Laden because he's encouraging his followers to commit acts of, he just went on with this comparison. And I said, when he said that and these other comparisons to Hitler and so forth, I said, they are trying to get the man killed because when you mention people like that, you these are people who could justifiably be taken out and the world would be better served. I think you are absolutely right, and I just pray that I've been urging the people I have an opportunity to communicate with, pray for angelic protection around Donald Trump, around his family. Pray for God's miraculous intervention as he did the first time they attempted to assassinate him, because frankly, they have not let up on the rhetoric. Have you noticed that? They have not let up on it at all. They've doubled down. They said it's President Trump's fault. He's the one who's stoking this. I mean, it is preposterous, but this is what we're in a spiritual battle, Alex. I mean, there's no question about it.
Did you see earlier this week when Peter Doocy asked, and I won't pronounce it correctly, Jean-Carine Pierre, the White House press secretary. Peter Doocy said, do you think this rhetoric, constantly calling him an existential threat, has that jeopardized Donald Trump's life? And far from being, repentant or even saying, maybe we should reel it in a little, she said, it is dangerous that you would even ask such a question. I mean, he was just reprimanded for even asking such a question. Did you see that?
I saw it, and I just thought, how absurd can you get? I mean, this completely absurd. Talk about projection. The danger is the rhetoric that the left and the Democrat Party are espousing. The danger is not asking a question that says, don't you think you should stop? And for her to say that, almost the implication is by pointing out that we're saying these things, you may put us in jeopardy. I can't even figure out the logic of her answer. It didn't make a bit of sense to me. And you're right. She could have said, you know what? I think that both sides ought to tone it down. And I think we ought to remember we're all American. She could have said something like that. But instead, you're right. She reprimanded him.
Yeah. To the point of, those comparing Trump to Osama bin Laden or Adolf Hitler, I know time flies and it's almost like the public has the attention span of a goldfish these days. But I don't know, I watch in terms of months and years, but December 2nd last year, December 2023, James Carville was on television with Bill Maher, both, just as left as they could be. But Carville said Christian nationalists are, quote, a bigger threat to America than Al-Qaeda. Now, I've been on some shows, and I wrote an article that Fox News and a lot of outlets picked up, and I wrote this article about the term Christian nationalists, and I said, look, I'm a Christian, and I care about America. If that makes me a bad guy, so be it. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a Christian. I love America. I care about the preservation of the U.S. Constitution. Gee, if that makes me a bad guy, well, I'll own it. But to say that conservative Christians are, quote, a bigger threat than Al-Qaeda, that's an absolutely ludicrous, irresponsible, and potentially dangerous statement by James Carville, isn't it?
They've compared us to Al-Qaeda, to the Taliban, and to Nazis. And by the way, that's the Christian nationalist is code language for Nazi. That's really what they're trying to say. They're trying to say that we as Christians are the equivalent of Nazis. It is deeply offensive. It's a horrible lie against people. But you know, I always remember this. These folks have absolutely no spiritual understanding, and to them, those of us who put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and actually love Him and know Him and love our country, they don't have a way of understanding that because they don't have the love of God in their hearts, and they don't really, most of them don't really have any love or affection for America as it presently exists. They want to fundamentally transform it. And so it's like we're aliens to them, like we're people from outer space to them, and they can only see us as a threat. They can't appreciate the fact. And by the way, let's make it clear and underscore this. They can't appreciate the fact that we actually love them and we pray for them and we don't
and
want
wish
bad
them
things
no
for
ill.
Them. Right. Exactly. They have no, because see, they don't think that way because they're incapable of thinking that way.
Yeah. And you know, maybe I'm naive, but I pray for Hillary Clinton. As a pastor and a minister, I know she needs to get right with God before she leaves this world. I continue to pray for Barack Obama and his family. I want them to know Jesus and all the blessings that come with yielding one's heart, life, and soul to God and His Word. But let me talk for a minute about the Christians. Many Christians are probably not going to vote in 45 days. But those that are, I've talked to Christians, Bishop, that say, well, you know, I don't like Donald Trump, so I'm just going to make a statement. I'll vote for a straight Democrat. I've had pastors, some pastors say, I'm going to vote a straight Democrat ticket, so there. And I'm like, look, that doesn't accomplish anything because look, to try to elect people that advocate for the murder of the unborn, to elect people that would betray Israel, to elect people that would obstruct religious freedom, the free proclamation of the gospel, the rights of parents, the welfare of children, to put people in office that will stand against moral truth and for the LGBTQ trans lawless, unspeakably immoral agendas. I mean, there are three dozen issues we could talk about, but I just don't see how a thinking born again Christian could vote for things that are just unspeakably ungodly.
I believe it's sin, Alex. Straightforward. Just without any equivocation, that is sin. Because what you're doing is you are siding with enemies of God because you think somehow you're making some sort of bold, righteous statement. I mean, that doesn't make a bit of sense. Look, the Bible says that those who justify the wicked and condemn the just are both alike an abomination to God. So if you vote for the things that you just laid out, and that's exactly what you'd be voting for if you voted for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, you are justifying the wicked. And when you justify the wicked, you are really blaspheming God because you're saying you're wrong, they're right, and I'm gonna support them because what's over here, while it may be more in agreement with you, it's not to my liking, and therefore I'm not going to support that. That just doesn't make a bit of sense. Donald Trump has made clear there will be no men playing on women's sports teams if I am president of the United States. Now, that's not a Donald Trump statement to me. That's a statement of righteousness because they shouldn't be playing on women's sports teams because they're not women. And anybody who says they are is just lying to themselves and to others. So, yeah, I any Christian who would do that is making a grave spiritual error.
You and I'm old enough and I've been around the block long enough. I mean, I well remember people like Chuck Colson, you know, who was former chief of staff for Richard Nixon. He became a Christian, was very involved in politics and culture. And of course, my former boss, James Dobson, who at one time was, you know, routinely in the national media advocating for, you know, God and country. And then, you know, there were, you know, even people like Daniel Patrick Moynihan, that, you know, there were moral, principled Democrats on the left. I guess I would ask you this. What hope do you have? And look, we know the Lord can snap his fingers and send a great awakening. But what hope do you have, given that so many of our great thinking leaders, Antonin Scalia, has passed on? But do you still have hope that there will be a moral and spiritual awakening in America, given where we are and what the future might hold?
Well, Alex, not to put too fine a point on it and not to blow smoke at you, but with people like you in our country who are so clear and so forthright in expressing the truth of God's word, and that we could go down the list and name many, many others, yes, I have plenty of hope. And brother, you give me hope, and so do others. So I look forward with optimism for the future of our country.
Wow. Hey, we're going to take calls. It's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If the election were held today, for whom would you vote and why? Who are you going to vote for and why? You can discuss this with myself and the great Bishop E.W. Jackson. Stay tuned. AFR is back after this brief break. Let us hear from you. Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them or cause them to stumble. Well, welcome back. Alex McFarland here. Hey, by the way, I will be back at 4 p.m. Eastern on Exploring the Word on AFR. Bert Harper and I will do a Fire Away Friday, your questions for the whole hour. But right now, what a privilege to hear from Bishop E.W. Jackson. He is with us, and to hear from you all, wherever you may be in America. I'm asking the question, and we'll discuss it with you. If the election were held today, who would you vote for and why? We're going to go to Arkansas. Kayla. Kayla in Arkansas, thanks for calling in. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. Great to have you.
Hi, Kayla. I just heard that, is there a hope for a great awakening, or maybe even an end-time revival? A lot of Christians, you know, ask that, and they have a hope. I've heard preachers preach on that, but I've read the New Testament in 2 Timothy and 2 Thessalonians. It talks about a great falling away. I believe that we're there, and I don't see biblically that there will be another end time revival. Do you,
Bishop? What do you say?
Well, look, you're right. The arc of history is quite clear. But here's the thing that we have to answer, Kayla. Does that mean my family then has to follow that arc, or my community has to follow that arc, or my church has to follow that arc, or my country has to follow that arc? You see, I believe that God gave us prudential judgment, and that we can lead our families, our communities, in a way that's different than the direction the world is going. In other words, we can swim against the current. And that's what I want for our country. And America, you have to remember, is unique. There's no other nation like this except Israel, which it begins in covenant with Almighty God. And Romans, I think it's 11:29, says the gifts and the calling of God are without revocation. I really believe that God established this nation, and that if we as his people stand up, God will honor our prayers and our efforts, and God will give us a third great awakening. In fact, as you all probably know, that Andrew Womack and others believe that we are really already seeing the indicators that we are in a great awakening, but we just might be expecting it to flower immediately, or expecting some dramatic change right away. And maybe that's the wrong way to look at it, but I really do believe God is doing something spiritually in this country right now.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And, you know, I the miraculous founding of this country, Bishop, we know God raised up America for really two centuries. Our nation has been at the absolute forefront of the Great Commission. And I know that by God's grace, there are great Christians coming out of India these days, out of South America. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know this. Do you know, since the early 90s, South Korea has sent missionaries to the USA?
Amen, yes.
You know, I tend to believe, you know, with on July 13, President Trump, 2-3 millimeters different for that bullet, and he would have died. And then just this week, saved from an assassination attempt in Florida. I wonder if, you know, Donald Trump's miraculous survival is God sort of winking at us, saying, look, I got this. But Kayla, to your point, I know there is going to be the great falling away, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but as long as we're in the land of the living, we stand strong, we stay bold, we proclaim truth. Let's go to John in Ohio, very important state. John, if the election were today, for whom would you vote and why?
There's absolutely no question that my president is Donald Trump, for the reasons of our economy, our godliness. I believe him to be a godly man. I'm not sure he's a Christian, but he has been saved by the hands of God twice. And my only fear is that more copycat incidents may be on the horizon. To Kayla, I say, God is God and we are not. So in terms of revival, I do believe it's happening. It's happening in college campuses where these awful, awful support of Hamas demonstrations were being held. But it's happening. Even in our great state of Ohio, here at Ohio State, across this great land. And when our God is done, he's done. We know that. And that's not our choice. It's his. I need to have one last thing to say. Bishop Jackson, I fully thank you for the way that you affirmed Brother McFarland. I consider you all brothers in Christ. I stand firm with you. I stand against the forces of evil that seek to overtake us, because Satan is real and he is moving. Well, guess what? So is our God.
Amen.
On him, I will place all my trust, and I'll be quiet.
Amen. But thank you, John. Thank you very much. You know, I thought about this. In fact, I preached a sermon on Sunday called To Be a Covenant Nation. And I started with Psalm 2, verse 6, which says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. And I said, is it possible in the omniscience of Almighty God that the Son asked the Father for a nation, the United States of America, that would reflect not demographics or race, but would reflect principle rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word? And I believe that if that prayer was asked for by Jesus, God the Father granted it to him, and so here we are.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, John. Let's go to Missouri. Jill in Missouri, welcome to the program. Yeah. Thanks for holding.
Thank you. Thank you. So I want the nation to know that neither Harris nor this other guy from India, I think his name is Ramaswamy, I'm not sure about how to pronounce
Ramaswamy,
it.
Ramaswamy, yeah.
Yeah, neither, and he was trying to run for president as well, but neither of these two people qualify according to our Constitution, because at the time of their birth, Ramaswamy in Ohio, Kamala in California, all of their parents were foreign nationals. And because of that, none of them qualify. Also, Attorney Todd Callender, using the Freedom of Information Act, discovered that neither Harris nor Biden sign this form, which is supposed to be notarized, and they have 30 days to do this after swearing in on TV before the nation, which gives them the legal right to occupy those offices. And Todd Callender discovered that they have not done this. So I wonder why President Trump, especially where Kamala Harris's concern doesn't point out that according to our Constitution, she never qualified for the vice presidency or the presidency.
You know, I read this, and of course, Attorney Bishop E.W. Jackson can weigh in on this far more intelligently than can I. Wasn't she born like in Oakland, California? And I'm not sure were, but both of her parents were in the country, but not U.S. citizens. But by virtue of having been, you know, the baby was delivered here, that made her a natural born citizen.
Yeah, that's the state of the law at present, and I don't think that the I could be wrong about this, but I don't think there's been any definitive case before the Supreme Court. But it gives me an opportunity to say, with regard to this illegal immigration, you know, when I was running for president, I proposed a constitutional amendment that would define a natural citizen, a born citizen, as only a person who has a biological parent who is a citizen of the United States, mm-hmm. which would mean that you could come to here with your mother on vacation or whatever and be born here, but you would not be a citizen of the United States unless one biological parent is also a citizen of the United States of America and you are born in this country. I think we're doing ourselves a great disservice to have this anchor baby birth stuff where anybody born in the country becomes a citizen, and China's sending women over to the country to be born here so they can take them back, indoctrinate them as communists, and then send them back to infiltrate our country. I mean, I think it's societal suicide, and it's got to end. But I don't think it would end without a constitutional amendment. I don't think President Trump will be able to do it by some sort of executive order.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it is interesting to me that the Democrat leaders who claim to be the guardians of democracy have launched their candidate in a most undemocratic fashion, haven't they?
Yeah, because she's the woman has proven herself, at least nationwide, to be able to get absolutely almost zero votes. I mean, she was the first candidate to, my goodness, my candidacy lasted longer than his. You know, she was the first one to drop out because mm-hmm. she simply could not get any kind of support
in any of the primaries.
Exactly, yeah. In any of the primaries, and it's quite easy to see why. So as far as their legitimacy is concerned, other than that, I think as a legal matter, if it were challenged, it would probably not be able to prevail before the Supreme Court, because right now the practice has been, if you are born in this country, no matter who your parents are, whether they're citizens or not, you are automatically a citizen of the United States. But I don't believe it should be that way.
We're going to Texas. Raul in Texas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program. Hey, Raul.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Hi.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Welcome. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
I'm going to go to Mary in Louisiana. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me? Oh.
Yes, thanks for holding. Welcome.
Yeah, well, what I wanted to say, I listened to the debate and everything, but every time, and I know y'all's for Trump, and I kind of was for Trump at one time, but when I listen to the debate, Trump doesn't speak about what he's planning to do for the country. He talk about everything else, but he don't give us, like, plans, what his plans are, what he's going to do. He's talking all around about it. But with Kamala, she seemed like she have a really good plan for the country. She, you know, it's like she want to help people. She want things to change for the better. Now, I don't agree with abortion. I don't agree. And I'm agreeing with Trump with shutting down the border, definitely. But my question is, and then I'm going to let you go, even if she Kamala does get in office, is it a way that we can, the people, the congressmen can stop, you know, the people coming in, you know, the through that border, and also can we stop the abortion?
Mary, I want to say thank you so much for calling in, and I appreciate this question. I'm going to let Bishop Jackson go first.
Yeah, Mary, first of all, Donald Trump has a track record. and he served 4 years as president. And you have to ask the question, what did he do compared to what this group did that's in there now? And that's more important to me than any debate or anything that they have to say. Donald Trump got the economy going. Donald Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Donald Trump made clear his opposition to trying to turn men into women and women into men, which is one of the most ungodly things that the left has ever come up with. And Donald Trump showed a willingness to honor the Constitution. I know people have problems with his questioning the election, but to me, it's a constitutional question, and any reasonable citizen has a right to raise the question. They want to turn it into some kind of insurrection, which it never was. So if you look at their track record of what they've done, to me, the debate becomes almost irrelevant because she was packaged and rehearsed and all of that. The question is, what's their track record? And with Kamala Harris, it's every ungodly thing imaginable. And with Donald Trump, he did a great job serving this country for the first 4 years. And that's what I'm looking at.
He really did. And let me encourage you, sister. Two issues should decide everything. Now, Trump has been very clear about sealing the border, cutting spending, saving the economy. But listen, we could do an entire show on the fact that the national debt, $33 trillion, the interest on the debt is going up by $3 billion every day. We have to cut government spending. So I would argue, very lovingly and respectfully, sister, I would argue the exact reverse. Trump is clear. He has a great track record, as Bishop Jackson said. Kamala Harris, I believe, is really just a puppet. Give the talking points from Marxist leaders that I believe include Barack Obama. She's just going to do what she's told, and that doesn't bode well for any of us. We're going to try to get one more in. Bill from Texas, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir. My understanding about the so-called Anchor Baby Amendment, I thought what it was originally intended for was to guarantee the rights of citizenship for freed slaves after the Civil War, and it's been misconstrued into something else totally.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Good point. Do you have a comment on that, Bishop?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I agree entirely, but I just think a constitutional amendment will clarify it beyond all question. That's why I propose that as an answer.
We're almost out of time. Bishop Jackson, thank you for being with us. Give us your website, if you would, please.
Go to standamerica.us or standamericapac.us if you want to support us in our electoral efforts this season.
Indeed. Folks, pray for America. I'll be back in 2 hours on Exploring the Word. In the meantime, keep your radio tuned to the American Family Radio Network, and may God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.